outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
I think the weather's
and
delightful.
Since we've no place to
Wendy,
go,
I'm with you. I'm all right
isn't
with
that
it.
Pretty?
Yeah, it's very pretty. It's like a, it's like you're driving through a snow globe.
Yes, but if you focus on the big fluffy flakes, it makes you dizzy. You feel like you're in a time warp
right.
thing. So we don't
do
that.
We need to throw out that word of warning. Do not stare directly into the flakes. You'll get dizzy. You'll get vertigo. You'll fall down. You'll slip and fall down and drive. It's not pleasant. So think of the snow as a group, not individually, and you should be okay. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, that's great advice.
Got dizzy listening.
Yeah,
there.
I was dizzy.
About to fall down.
Yeah.
I do want to say, I want to ask about your drives in, because I left, believe it or not, I left early today.
Did you leave early?
A half hour early.
I don't see that often.
No. I just wanted to make sure,
yeah.
And I have to give a public service announcement, a warning, if you will. Ogden Avenue in Sacramento, they're doing some construction, and the lights are kind of messed up. So as there's like a center road on Ogden, and then there's like two frontage roads
oh,
on
yeah.
the side of
is
it.
Is that by the Starbucks there?
By the it's near the Starbucks.
I didn't
yeah.
see a Starbucks
no?
there.
Okay.
There's one near there.
I think so.
It's near Douglas Park,
right.
kind of.
Uh-huh.
And so the lights were kind of messed up, and it's snowing. The pavement was not bad at all.
Yeah.
And people who are going in an opposite direction, even though the light's about to change.
Yes.
A giant double-length bus goes and blocks the way.
Oh.
And I had to wait for two lights for it to turn.
Yeah.
And then people are driving on the wrong side of the road.
They are?
Why
would snow make you drive on the other side
know.
Of the road?
It was kind of a congestified little area, so people just took it upon themselves to drive.
Is that near the little Great Britain area?
Yes.
Because everybody drives on the opposite side over there.
I think that's where it was.
It's near Lagunitas, right? That's not far from there
by
either.
The brewery.
So that doesn't have something to do with it?
No, I don't know. It's just, you know, these intersections were blocked, so people were just taking it upon themselves
yeah.
to drive on the wrong side of the median on Ogden Avenue.
It's too dangerous.
So, of course, I'm sitting there unable to move, and I, you know, you don't know what to do. You don't want to flip anybody off. So I just put my arms up in exasperation, like, what is this?
You did the right thing.
You took both hands off the wheel.
Well, right. I was stopped. Right. I had to wait through two
Steve,
lights.
At that point, it doesn't matter.
No.
People are making their own rules.
Right.
And then my light changes and there are two cars facing me in my lane.
Oh.
And again, I put the arms up in exasperation.
You did it twice
like,
in one morning?
What are you people doing?
Not technically, I think if you run into them, they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
So you would have been fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really want to deal with the car repairs.
No.
But so I finally get through this congestion, and I'm you know, this happens. I'm not going to say it's just me, because I think we all are guilty of this. When you're in a congested situation,
yeah.
then when you break free, you kind of hit the accelerator
to
a
make
little
up
more.
For lost time.
A little bit, just yeah. because you're like, oh, finally.
Right, the burden is lifted.
Yeah, except then I saw the camera go off, and I got a speeding ticket.
Did you?
That's what I can expect with my Christmas cards in a couple of weeks.
I hope they caught you in one of the two poses this morning with your arms up in the air.
Right.
Because what are they going to do?
Right.
They'll realize, here's a woman in distress. But, we got to let her go without...
Right.
charging her a ticket.
Or they might give you a certificate letting you use your phone because you can drive with no hands.
Okay.
That's
go
true.
Ahead and laugh, clowns.
We're
because
not laughing.
Here's what I'm going to say. You got people going the wrong direction.
Right.
You've got people blocking the intersection.
You've got Touchdown Jesus in his car.
And yeah. I do nothing. And I was going about 8 miles over the
limit. And you're
limit.
The one that'll have to pay
yes!
the penalty.
How is
that's
that
not fair?
Fair?
That's not fair. No, that's wrong.
This is the worst holiday season of ever.
It's ruining it.
Something's got to change.
We got to...
It's going to be a $100 ticket, too.
I saw that
stupid camera go off.
Too
like,
bad you
what?
Left, too bad you left early.
You shouldn't have left early.
See? Thank you,
Mary. That's a great point.
Do you think if you were to damage the camera on the way home?
I'm not. Don't get me started. Yeah, my big face coming
climb
towards
up
it.
And get the camera. Get the evidence.
You put a screwdriver in your mouth, climb up the pole.
Yeah.
That's why I always wear a Domatipango mask when I'm driving. So people assume if I go through a light, they go, it's Domatipango. We got to charge that guy.
You need to get his plate.
You know, Bill, those are harder and harder to find.
I know they are. Holiday time, you can't find them anymore.
And every one of these tickets that have come in, I've blamed on Jim.
No,
every
not this
one.
Time. Not this time.
How many have come in?
Three.
And they're over
three
how long of a period?
How,
the last year.
In
and
the same spot?
No, it's not me. It's Jim. But I don't even look. I just go, where were you? You're speeding. Wow. I didn't even look to ever check the time or where it was. But
yeah, you just
I'm
going to
blame him for this one, too.
So aren't you subject to losing your license if you have three tickets?
Three is a lot in a year.
No, I speeding?
Thought, yeah. Well, speeding. Look, I got to know some of the Midwest police departments a couple years ago, and I had two within a year period, and I was paranoid that if I had a third, I'd lose my license.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
it's two different cars, you know. You get three per car.
Fine, then. I don't know how they do that with the cameras. I don't know.
It's just your license plate.
I know, but I mean how they assess that as far as the...
Did I say I had three? I think maybe it
you
was...
You said one, I thought.
Yeah,
you said
one. Not at all. Not a single ticket.
No, you almost had one, I thought you said.
Well, so this one is just not fair.
This one's not fair at all. The other ones, maybe. But so what advice would you give people? People are traveling. That, you know, every time it snows here in Chicago, we forget how to drive in it. What would your advice be to people?
Stay off of Ogden Avenue at Sacramento.
Yeah, keep it clear. Wendy needs that lane.
My God, going the wrong way and I get the ticket.
Yeah.
And there was a police officer who drove right by, and a second later, this car then went in the wrong direction. So the police officer just missed it. Seeing it.
Oh, that's not good.
It should be a left lane camera.
Yep.
They would have got him.
That's a good idea. Or you should just keep your phone up and record stuff around you.
And now, then I'll get a ticket for that.
Is there any chance that the camera that caught you, right, takes a picture of your car, that it might have gotten a bit of your rearview mirror that would then reflect back where you could see the people driving in the wrong way?
That would be helpful.
You could use that in your defense.
Use that.
I'm not even kidding. That truly, although they moved by then because I had to get through. I honked at them.
I would love to be in the courtroom for that.
We'll testify, Wendy. Say the word.
Testify. I did say the word.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. Want to jump in? You can. It's really easy. It's 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. Still live with Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. Here's what's coming up. There's a lot of holiday scams to look out for, internet-based and otherwise. Jason Glassberg, who we refer to as the ethical hacker, will join us in a little while to talk about those. Then, Wendy, some dirty, smutty puppets.
I don't know anything about these dirty, smutty puppets. I got to be careful. So I'm anxious to find out about this.
Big show, Avenue Q here in town. It's got puppets, but not the kind of puppets you grew up with. Puppets unlike anything you've ever seen or heard before. They will join us at 11:05. And then Dean Richards, the man who drives the tank over on Channel 9.
Oh, my God. Did you watch that last night?
I saw a clip of it.
I saw the whole show last night.
Yeah.
They are cray-cray.
Yeah. Yeah,
Paul Conrad is a wackadoodle.
You just found that out yesterday. You didn't know that?
Oh, he's just, I get to see his hairy chest when he's in a bathtub, and then he professed his love for Oprah. I'll fight him for Oprah.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. A little while ago, we were talking about the drive-in. I just found this. Very disturbing. They list the 40 top cities in Chicago in terms of what it costs us to park our car. You know what I mean? So for many of us, if you work in the city, say you live somewhere else and you work in the city, you're forced, because there's only three parking spaces in Chicago, you're forced to buy a parking space for the day. So it turns out that out of the 40 major U.S. cities, or the 40 top major U.S. cities, we are number two in terms of what we pay just to have our car sit somewhere.
It is such a waste, isn't it?
It is. It is. Some cities, like St. Louis, a fraction of what we pay, but we pay a fraction of what New York pays. Here's our average in Chicago. Per hour, if you're buying a parking spot per hour in the city of Chicago, it's going to cost you an average of $17 an hour just to park your car, just to have it sit there while you do stuff. If you're buying by day, it's $30. If you're buying by month, the average comes to $265. Like I said, we're
That's number two.
It seriously is rent for your car to just sit there. We are number two. St. Louis, for some reason, is the cheapest. I can't imagine why. I don't know what's going on in St. Louis. But
it's because of the arch.
Is it because of the arch? Uh-huh. All right. I guess I can see that.
Makes people feel good.
Yep. That's what it does.
I'll charge you half price.
Wendy, I don't know if you're aware of this. It's the gateway to the Midwest.
I've never been there.
To see the St. Louis Arch?
Yeah,
You should definitely see it. Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Oh, you'd love it. That's all you'd talk about.
Can you
remember
go up in it?
Remember the time we saw the arch? Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I chose not to. I was good. Just, it's one of those things, you know how there's certain things where you can just look at it. Like I was exactly like this with the Grand Canyon. I lost interest in the Grand Canyon 10 seconds in.
I cannot believe that.
I just looked at it and I went, yeah, there it is. It's the Grand Canyon. It didn't do anything for me.
You weren't awestruck?
Not even a little bit.
Seriously?
Isn't that crazy?
I've never been there either. I've been to Berwyn.
That's not bad. Berwyn's fine.
I saw the car kebab when it was up.
Well, that's a highlight.
That's something.
That's good. All right. So like I said, we pay $17 an hour to park here in Chicago. They ranked it by the hourly because our per day of 30 is a little bit lower than some cities. Now, in New York, your average is $27 per hour just to park your car.
Well, there is no room there, right?
No, there's not. Almost everybody I know who lives in New York City does not have a car. Can you even imagine in this day and age surviving without a car?
Mm-mm.
You know, I apologize if you brought this up, but this is the beauty of driverless cars.
Is that no parking spots?
Right. So, or our cars, we can ride our cars into work like I did this morning, and then my car can go home.
Oh, yeah.
Or my car can go to a remote parking lot in Hammond.
And save money on parking.
And sit out there because I don't need access to my car for 8 more hours, so it can go sit somewhere rural, or not rural.
How do you trust your car to go home? It's going to go out gallivanting.
Well, I bet your car goes and sees a movie.
Or to the Arch.
Can you imagine
to the Arch in St. Louis?
Driverless car romances.
It'll be like Cars the movie.
I told you not to date anyone from Wheaton.
This would be at my house. A Volvo, really? That's what you found? All right, really? Fine.
No electric cars.
Right. I worry about the kids.
Right. That's so true. In New York, by the way, your monthly...
So we
pay $265, which is outlandish.
And it's usually a little more. It just depends where you go.
Right. In New York, on average, they're paying $616 per month.
That is
just
unbelievable.
Just to park your car. They're not cleaning your car every day. Nobody's watching it to make sure that nobody does anything awful to it while it's sitting there. You pull in, you leave it there, you pay $616 a month in New York. Yeah, I think $265 a month in Chicago is outlandish. But that's more than twice. That's more than double.
When I worked at the Hancock building, I think it was like three something a month.
To park inside the Hancock.
It was either Hancock or Prudential.
And that was 20 years ago.
I know.
So what is it now? It's a lot higher 800 now.
800 probably.
Wow.
I can't even believe that.
Wow.
Thankfully, Jim and I worked separate shifts. So
yeah.
I would pull out of the Corkscrew garage and hand him the pass.
Oh, you did?
So then he could park. I worked overnights. He worked mornings. So it worked out perfectly.
The Corkscrew, by the way, was the strangest aspect of that parking garage. In the Hancock, and I guess it's like this for a lot of parking garages, you go up a little bit of a curve to get up to the decks where the parking starts. But at the Hancock, that Corkscrew goes, I think, three stories, right? Before you find...
Felt like 10.
It goes on and on and on and on. And if you're behind somebody slow, as I often was... All day was spent just waiting to get to where the cars are parked.
Yeah, but I feel sorry for those people because I got used to it and I could navigate it very quickly because I did it every day.
Yeah.
But there are like tourists that come here in a rental car. They're not used to how big their automobile is.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for them.
Do you ever look at Marina City and see the way the cars are parked? And
yes.
I imagine there are some people that must be a very nervous pull in. I'm like that in any parking garage because there's so many different things to look for. But with that, if you go just a little bit too far.
What movie was that where the car went off?
It's a Steve McQueen movie, right?
Yes, you're right.
I can't remember which Steve McQueen movie.
Was it on fire too?
I don't remember it being on fire, but I think... Actually, I'm going to go one better. I think in every Steve McQueen movie, he drove a car off the side of Marina's Tower.
Oh, that was The Hunter.
The Hunter. That's
yes,
it.
Filmed in part in Mantino, Illinois.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Were you in it?
That's where I first met Steve.
And thus blossomed a friendship that went on for decades.
Really, no kidding. Like, we would go out and hang out on the country roads, and he'd walk by. Hi, Steve. Well, yeah, it was nice.
Did he wave?
I have a cousin who was an extra in it.
Really?
That's excellent. Yeah, The Hunter. That was it.
Right.
Yeah.
I never even heard of that movie.
LeVar Burton?
Love him.
Was he in it, too?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't know that.
The guy said he was LeVar.
He must have been. You're not going to lie about that.
Hmm.
I'm Jordy LaForge, really? No, you caught me.
The Reading Rainbow.
You caught me. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got all kinds of stuff on today's show, so make sure that you keep it right here on WGN.
dark. I hate talking over this because I'm feeling very jazzy.
Yeah, don't talk over this. This is beautiful.
Well, it is Christmas time. A lot of people are going to be buying one another gifts. I haven't seen your list yet.
Big list, Wendy.
Do you big put together list. A list?
No, I just do subtle hints throughout the year. Like, I'll say to my family, I want this really badly. This. Get me this.
And you jump up and down and point like a little boy?
Yeah.
I do almost all my shopping now online. I don't need to feel and touch anything. And if you're worried about the security of your online purchases, have we got a guy for you. Ethical hacker Jason Glassberg joins us again, co-founder of Kasaba Security. How are you, Jason?
Oh, very well, and happy almost holiday season to you folks. Nice to talk to you again.
Well, now is when it's starting. Next week, you are going to have the Black Friday sales, yeah. And now is the time where people start their shopping. And is there more cyber scams going on over the holidays?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's so much money and so many products purchased online, and the bad guys, of course, are aware of all this, and they'll take any opportunity to try and scam folks. And so really your best defense this year, as in past years, is just going to keep your wits about you. And, you know, always remember that if it seems too good to be true, it usually is.
But Jason, it's holiday time. Who in their right mind would take advantage of us? It doesn't make sense. I don't believe you.
A bunch of Grinches, huh?
It's got to be the Grinches.
True. Yeah. It's true. And what's interesting is, of course, not only are the attacks getting more sophisticated and realistic, but we're seeing that, you know, it used to be a traditional, I want to get your credit card, right? I want to somehow be able to scam money off you. But nowadays, there's so much virtual transactions that people are targeting things like your airline miles, right? Or they're looking to take advantage of getting you V-Bucks for, you know, your online gaming. So it's not only dollars that people are looking for, it's all sorts of other kind of ephemeral, you know, internet transaction property.
All right. I have been getting a lot of emails from FedEx telling me, and it goes into my spam folder, and I just double check, and it says that they cannot, this is the last attempt to deliver my package. Mm. If I don't call them or log it, or I have to click on a link, yeah, to arrange for a delivery. But here's the thing. I've got nothing coming. This is a huge scam, isn't it?
Exactly. You'll see them from FedEx, you'll see them from UPS, you'll see them from Amazon, right? And essentially, it's just an effort to collect your information and get your email address and potentially some login password, because many people nowadays have accounts with FedEx and UPS so they can get, you know, online texting of when packages arrive. So, yeah, it's just another case of the bad guys being able to craft these incredibly realistic emails and fool people into giving up information.
You mentioned a little while ago that they're not just after your credit card numbers, but they could be after things like your mileage, your airline mileage. How would they go about doing something like that?
Well, you know, usually the scam plays out like you'll get either an email or you'll get some kind of coupon in your social media feed that says, hey, you know, here's an introductory offer for this. Click on this link, and you'll be able to get, you know, $200 in V-Bucks or 5,000, you know, airline miles. Mm-hmm. And essentially, they'll be redirected to a website where they'll ask you, you know, quite harmlessly, to log in with your account name, account number, and your password. And, you know, bam, the deed is done.
They got you.
The only suggestion I can say, and I'm pretty hard to fool, and I've almost fallen for these stupid FedEx ones and UPS, if they send you information, go ahead and log on to your account yourself. Open your browser and do it yourself.
Not through their link.
Yes. Yeah. Is that good advice?
Yeah. Absolutely. And look, and quite frankly, don't forget these people all maintain telephone banks, right? And you can always call and find out if this is a legitimate offer. Up here, I'm in Seattle, and up here the breaking news has been there's big phishing attack with the mortgage industry where people are getting these emails at the very last minute just before closing telling them that their escrow accounts and final deposits need to be redeposited in a different account. And so it's taken people for tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And really the solution is just call your broker, call the agent, call the person who's asking for this money and find out if this is a legitimate request.
I got yesterday, I got three calls, and you see the same area code as your phone number, your current phone number, and you see the first three digits of your phone number. And I never put two and two together until my kids say, Mom, they do that, because then you think you know who that is. It looks like it's coming from your area, and it's always about, you know, insurance that I inquired about, but I didn't inquire about. I have 30 blocked calls on my phone now. How does this keep happening?
Well, again, you know, people are always the bad guys are always looking for an avenue where you may let down your guard, right? And so by redirecting a call through a local area code, they feel it might be more trusted. Unfortunately, it's a lot easier just to hang up on somebody, but it certainly is annoying. there's no two ways about it. But again, it just shows that these people never stop, right? The bad guys are never going to stop. They're always going to be looking for an angle. And the unfortunate reality of life today is that, you know, again, you just have to keep your guard up.
Aren't there ways, though, Jason, and I don't know if anyone keeps track of this, but I'm trying to figure out what the success rate is of people who are hackers. You mentioned sometimes they take people for tens of thousands of dollars. I don't know if anyone's keeping track on what the success rate is. But isn't there a way to track some sort of a web address for where these scams are originating from, or is that impossible?
No, absolutely there is. The problem is the cost of committing the crime is so extremely low, right, that all it takes is a 1% or 2% hit rate for it to be successful, for this to be, you know, for it to be profitable.
Yeah.
To be able to change a website is a five-minute operation, right? To be able to change your email address is another five-minute operation. And so these guys can send out hundreds of thousands of emails at virtually no cost, and if one or two folks wind up sending money, it's pure profit.
We're talking with ethical hacker Jason Glassberg. He's co-founder of Casaba Security. You can visit casaba.com, CASABA.com. We're going to take a quick break, and then there's a new term that's coming up, and we will find out all about it. It's called shimming.
We'll talk about shimming.
Shimming Coco Bop.
That's what they say, Wendy. Yep, it's so true.
All right, you chipmunks, ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are. Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon.
Okay.
It's my time.
Okay,
Alvin.
I love Alvin and the Chipmunks. Alvin is online ordering some things, and we are talking with ethical hacker Jason Glassberg, co-founder of Casaba Security. You can go to casaba.com. Now, Jason, did we cover what the... I know there's skimming with credit cards. Every time I go to a gas station, I try and feel for something weird on the gas station slot. Is shimming any different?
Well, shimming is the evolution, right? And so what used to be a cover that the bad guys would put over a credit card slot has now been reduced to a very small paper-thin piece of metal that they actually put in the slot. And so when you put your credit card in, it winds up reading your credit card information from the magnetic stripe. These devices are much more difficult to see. And so it's just yet another front on, you know, on the war on consumer.
I have also seen stories in the news that there are prisoner call centers. If you call to order something or get something, a lot of times there are inmates that are actually answering the phones. I believe in rehabilitation for prisoners. I believe that they should have jobs. But these guys are in jail for a reason. I'm kind of, and women, and I'm scared to give them my credit card number. Should we be?
Well, yeah. Again, you know, that's kind of a personal choice. I don't know how you're ever going to be able to identify folks, the unless you ask them on the phone, which seems a little off.
But, Wendy, you know, asks everybody, Jason. Every phone call she gets.
Are you in prison right now?
Rude, but are you guys prisoners? at the end of the day, though, right? The important thing to remember is that by using a credit card online, you're infinitely safer always than using some kind of debt card that's connected to your bank account, because there are a number of laws that protect the transaction when you use your credit card that don't apply to your ATM or debit card. So even in, you know, the worst case scenario, if you gave your credit card over to someone who then copied that number and used it elsewhere, you can always protest the charge. And there are strict laws that say the credit card company has to go then and do research. And those laws do not apply to debit cards. So we recommend never using debit cards online.
What if you have a debit card that is also a Visa or MasterCard? Because I have disputed charges on that, and they still will credit me.
Right. And in that case, you want to make sure that you either make it known that you're using the credit card portion of that card, right? Or select it. Many times when you put those cards in a reader or an ATM or a machine, it asks you, is it a debit card? Or
I always say
card?
No. I always say no. And then it
really?
Acts like a, yeah, I never use my PIN number anywhere except an ATM.
Exactly. That's the smart way to go, and you're ahead of the game, because you can always dispute a charge with a credit card, and it becomes infinitely harder to try and dispute a charge with an ATM card.
All right, well, good to know. And there's something going on. People need to be prepared for a rise in sextortion scams. What is this?
Yeah, this one, and you know, all joking aside, this is pretty serious stuff, and it also can affect children. And it's something to be aware of, is that, you know, you never can tell who the person is you're talking to on the other end of a chat or some Skype call or some online interaction on social media. And there's been a rise of what's, you know, this, it's called, you know, digital blackmailing, online blackmailing or sextortion. And what happens is that, you know, you befriend someone. And someone can either then start, you know, ramping up the conversation, if you will. Maybe send over inappropriate pictures or send over, start an inappropriate conversation. And folks can get caught up in the moment and maybe respond in like. And really what's happening, though, is someone's actually capturing these conversations or capturing these photos that are being sent back and forth. And then come back, reveal who they are, say they've got this information, and, you know, basically are asking for money. And it's become quite a serious problem.
All right. Everyone is going to start not using their computers anymore. Are laws being enacted to take care of these up and coming and new problems?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is something that's very high on the radar screen of both here at home with the FBI, but also overseas with Interpol and various other governments. This is something that's being taken very, very seriously, because as you can imagine, I mean, there's a financial impact, but, you know, these can be absolutely devastating to people on a very personal level.
Absolutely. Jason, really appreciate talking to you. You're always very helpful. We hope you have a great holiday season.
Yeah, you too, guys. Always a pleasure.
Jason Glassberg, co-founder of Casaba Security. Visit them online at casaba.com. They can really help you out.
All right. We're worried about you being scammed this holiday season, but we're not going to scam you. We actually have something to give you right now. Bill, we have a family four-pack of tickets to Goodman Theater's A Christmas Carol, playing November 17th through December 31st. It's a Chicago favorite holiday tradition now in its 41st year, filled with jubilant musical numbers, dazzling costumes. It's a treat for the whole family. You can get your tickets at goodmantheater.org.
You would like the dazzling costumes, Wendy. I think you would be dazzled by...
I like dazzling
the costumes.
Yep. We have a family four-pack to give away. How would you like to do it, Mr. Christmas?
I've come up with a holiday Christmas question, Wendy, based on A Christmas Carol. I will ask it. If you're somebody listening who thinks they know the answer, call us at 312-981-7200. Be the first person to get it right, and you will win the prize package Wendy just described. Are you ready, everybody?
Yes, we are ready.
All right. The question goes something like this. Pull over to the side of the road, by the way, if you're driving. I don't want you thinking and driving at the same time. Which 1970s sitcom star surprised everyone with his impressive characterization of a new version of Ebenezer Scrooge and an American version of A Christmas Carol? Name that 1970s sitcom star who played a new version of Ebenezer Scrooge in a made-for-TV version of A Christmas Carol. Surprised everybody. Who could it be? 312-981-7200. I see your wheel spinning.
I have three answers that I could go
with. I will give you a clue, Wendy. He wore dazzling costumes. Does that help? Or
yes,
not? It does help a little bit. Yeah.
All right. The first person with the correct answer to that, 312-981-7200, will set you up with a family four-pack of tickets to the Goodman Theater's A Christmas Carol. And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's holiday-rific around here on WGN. All right, we have a question that was asked, Bill. We've got a family four-pack of tickets to the Goodman Theater's A Christmas Carol.
I can't recommend that show enough. It really puts you in the holiday spirit. Here is the question. Which 1970s sitcom star surprised everyone with his impressive characterization of a new version of Ebenezer Scrooge in the American version of A Christmas Carol? Who could it be?
I am stumped on this one, but Gary thinks he knows. Gary, what's going on?
I believe it was Henry Winkler.
TV's The Fonz. Absolutely right. Well done, Gary. How did you know that?
You know, I remember seeing commercials for it, and I remember the hair.
Yeah.
He had a big hair.
The hair was, and the leather jacket. You rarely saw that on Scrooge.
All right, well, stand by, Gary. We will get all your info and set you up with a family four-pack of tickets. As we mentioned, Goodman Theater's A Christmas Carol, playing November 17th through December 31st. If you didn't win tickets, you can get them at goodmantheater.org. After the news, we've got Avenue Q actors Andrew Lund and Molly C. Jones. They're waiting in the PPG Paints green room right now. We're going to find out about a puppet show I knew nothing about.
And this one is tailor-made for you.
I can't believe it. I thought you'd have invented this show for you, Wendy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Avenue Wendy.
Maybe they'll change the name.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. And I'm very excited because I am going to learn about something I never knew about.
This is a show that's been, it's been going on for a while, but you for some reason...
I'm lame. That's why.
No one's saying that. You guys aren't saying that, are you?
No one's saying that.
The show is Avenue Q, a longtime hit, a huge hit, playing at the Mercury Theater right now in Chicago through December for sure. But friends of mine who are puppets are telling me that it may go even longer, possibly into March. We hope that's the case. Two of the cast members from Avenue Q are here, Andrew Lund and Molly C. Jones. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, good
nice
morning.
To meet both
good.
Of you.
Doing great.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
You too.
All right, wait. You say puppets, you say singing. What is this thing you speak of?
Explain away.
Oh, gosh. So it's in a nutshell, kind of like Sesame Street for adults.
Yeah.
Like adults?
Yeah. It is irreverent. On. It is hilarious. It has a lot of heart. Think Sesame Street, but the characters, the puppets, and the human characters, there are human characters in the show too, they tackle real adult issues, finding a job, looking for your purpose, dealing with hot button issues like racism and one night stands and all sorts of things that you would experience in life. As an adult, kind of finding your way, and...
Is this serious? Is it comedic? Is it a little of each?
It's definitely a little of both, because it does, in some songs, get a little heavy at moments. but then you'll have characters that are kind of off-the-wall vaudevillian bonkers. So it gets super high energy. It gets a little bit raunchy at times.
Yeah. Are you doing any raunchy stuff here? Jasmine, have we cleared the songs they're going to sing? All right,
everything's
good.
Yeah.
No raunchy today.
Nothing raunchy.
I like my job.
Yeah, no.
That's fair. Do either of you know, like, when this was first created, it's obviously, there's some fandom for Sesame Street. It's not, it's making fun of it to some extent, but you can tell that when written, it was to pay homage to Sesame Street, right?
Absolutely. In fact, some of the original, actually a lot of the original puppeteers had worked on Sesame Street before.
Yeah, predominantly. The main original cast were almost entirely original, like Sesame Street puppeteers.
Yeah.
Really? That's impressive.
So it is bringing the... like childlike aspects of Sesame Street into your adult world.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the reason that makes it so endearing, especially for adults to come and see, is it brings out that, like, oh, look at those puppets having fun up there. And it brings you back to, like, when you were a child watching Sesame Street. But
It also is an adult-only performance, correct?
Yes.
18 and older?
We definitely have teenagers come see the show at some point. I feel like it...
Parental discretion is advised.
Parents know their kids.
Oh, that's smart.
Your kids will think you're really, really cool.
All right, sign me up.
Has there been an episode or two, though, where people bring their kids and they go, this is ridiculous. My kids watch puppets on TV. They watch Muppets. Why can't they see this? And you have to explain to them maybe it's not in their best interest.
There's been one or two shows where we've seen some kids that are definitely too young, and there are points where those parents just scoop them up and take them out.
I think Mercury Theater has done a good job, though, of making it known. You might want to just double check the content before you let your, make sure that you're comfortable with what you're going to bring them to see. But
this Melissa McCarthy movie that was out a couple months ago, was that good for business for you guys or bad for business? They did a really raunchy version of the Muppets.
That didn't do well, right?
Did not do well.
It did not. No. I actually didn't see it.
I didn't see it either. I think what helps with our show is that it's rooted in so much heart. Princeton, who's the main character, is kind of this 22-year-old blank slate that has no kind of direction as to where he's going.
Yeah.
And so he's learning throughout the show and experiencing all of these adult things for the first time. Yeah. And because it's rooted in that like real humanity, I think is what has allowed it to endure for 15 years is when the first production happened.
You play Princeton, correct?
I do. Yes.
Any true to life between you and Princeton?
Oh,
are you similar?
We've all been there. Yeah.
And Molly C. Jones in the studio as well as Andrew Lund. Molly, what do you play?
I'm Kate Monster. She is a kindergarten teaching assistant. She's perky and quirky and bubbly and has kind of like, in my head, that quintessential like Sesame Street ideal for life. Everything is exciting and wonderful. But she goes through some trials along with Princeton. And I think every song has like a little nugget of wisdom to pass on to the audience. And by the end of the show, I mean, I think every single show we get people,
that's what you want.
There's so much heart in the show that you forget that you're watching puppets and they really come alive and you care for them by the end of it. It's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Can we get you guys to do a song? Is that possible?
Absolutely.
You'll do a song? What is the song we'll be hearing?
This song is called Mixtape.
All right, here goes. Yeah. From Avenue Q, here's Mixtape.
I think he likes me, but does he like me, like I like him? Will we be friends or something more? I think he's interested, but I'm not sure. Come in.
Hiya, Kate.
Princeton, hi.
Hi. Listen, I was going through my old CDs yesterday, and I kept coming across songs I thought you'd like, so I made you this mix.
Oh, that is so sweet. Can I get you a drink or a snack?
Actually, do you mind if I use your bathroom?
No, go right ahead.
Thank you.
A mixtape. Oh, he made a mixtape! He was thinking of me, which shows he cares. Sometimes when someone has a crush on you, they'll make you a mixtape to give you a clue. Let's see. You've got a friend, the theme from Friends. That's what friends are for. Oh, no. Oh, wait, but look, a whole new world. Kiss the girl, ma chérie amour. Oh, Princeton, he does like me. I am the walrus, fat bottom girls, yellow submarine. What does this mean?
Hey, Kate, you might want to not go in there for a while.
Oh. Well, Princeton, thank you so much for this mix. I was just looking at disc one. Great songs.
Oh, well, did you get to disc two yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, it's great. Check it out. Oh,
Stuck on You.
Love Me Do.
My Heart Will Go On. I love Titanic.
It was all right.
Oh.
She's gone away
yesterday.
Good night, Saigon, from the Russia concert.
Ooh, don't know that one. Through the years,
the theme from Cheers.
Moving right along. Nice mix.
Oh, well, there's one more. I have to say I love you in a song.
Oh, Princeton, that is so sweet. I've never gotten such a nice present from a guy.
Oh, well, I'm glad you like it. But I have to go now because I'm going to make one for Brian and Christmas Eve and Gary and Rod and Nikki and Trekkie Monster and everyone.
Oh.
And oh,
Yes?
What are you doing tonight?
Ugh, grading term papers. But it's kindergarten, so they're very short. Why?
Everyone's gonna go hear this singer at the Around the Clock Cafe. Do you wanna go with me?
Like, a date?
Sure. A date. It'll be a blast.
I'd love to come.
Okay. Well, I'll see you then.
Okay.
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 Bye.
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 He likes me.
This is great.
Very
you
nice.
Guys were so
wow.
good.
Andrew Lund, Molly C. Jones, two of the performers from Avenue Q playing right now at the Mercury Theater through December for sure. But we're hearing stories that it could easily go through March and beyond. So get your tickets at mercurytheater.com/AvenueQ. We'll come back and talk more about the show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Two of the stars of Avenue Q are live in studio with us, Andrew Lund and Molly C. Jones. They play Princeton and Kate Monster, respectively. The show is being played out at the Mercury Theater here in Chicago. Go to mercurytheater.com. All your ticket information is right there. It runs through December for sure, and there's pretty good odds it'll run through March and beyond.
This is the Triple Crown of Tony Awards? I am so out of touch, but I know about it now. Avenue Q, everyone.
Yeah, it actually beat out Wicked, the musical.
Really?
Yeah, for best musical that year. Yeah.
Awesome.
You've been in it before. You've been in the show before. You were here a year or so ago when they did the show here?
No, actually, I did it in Grand Rapids.
Oh, you did?
Michigan, around the same time they were doing it here.
Yeah.
So about 4 years ago, they did it in 2014.
Yeah.
So I was Kate Monster in Grand Rapids.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And Andrew, is this your first experience with Avenue Q, or you played it before too?
So I've been with the show since the first time they mounted it 4 years ago.
Wow.
I understudied Princeton and another character named Rod through then, but I just took over the role of Princeton about 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
When you're understudying it, when do you know for sure that you're on that night or you're not on that night? Does it vary all the time?
Oh, it varies. I've gotten the call days before, knowing sometimes you have planned times that you're taking over, but I've also gotten the call about 15 minutes before they wanted me there. Yeah.
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 So you have to leave those nights open. You can't have something tentative planned. You have to be ready.
Yeah, I'm on call every night.
Wow.
Like a doctor.
Yeah. Yep. And way lower stakes.
Sometimes when you see a show and it's a big name who can't perform in it, when they announce that before the show, the crowd goes, oh, because they wanted to see the star. But that they wouldn't do that to you.
They
want to see, of course.
Yeah, he's
right.
The star.
That makes sense. Yeah.
All right, so another song will be performed. Again, this is Andrew Lund, who plays Princeton, Molly C. Jones, Kate Monster. You can go to mercurytheaterchicago.com/AvenueQ. They're also on Facebook and Twitter. What song is this?
This is Fine, Fine Line. So without giving too much away, Princeton and Kate kind of have a little romance that goes wrong. And this is the song she sings right after they have a big fight. There's a fine, fine line between a lover and a friend. There's a fine, fine line between reality and pretend. And you never know till you reach the top if it was worth the uphill climb. There's a fine, fine line between love and a waste of time. There's a fine, fine line between a fairy tale and a lie. And there's a fine, fine line between you're wonderful and goodbye. I guess if someone doesn't love you back, it isn't such a crime. But there's a fine, fine line between love and a waste of your time. And I don't have the time to waste on you anymore. I don't think that you even know what you're looking for. For my own sanity, I've gotta close the door and walk away. Oh, there's a fine, fine line between together and not. And there's a fine, fine line between what you wanted and what you got. You gotta go after the things you want while you're still in your prime. There's a fine, fine line between love and a waste of time.
That is fantastic.
So good.
You guys are so good.
Wow. Andrew, you were fantastic in that.
Thank you.
Molly's hogging all the credit, but I thought you did just as good, if not better.
Oh, thanks.
This song's really about him.
It is about him. Well, for people who don't know about the show, it's time to learn about the show. Go see the show. It's Avenue Q. It's playing at the Mercury Theater. You want to visit mercurytheaterchicago.com/AvenueQ. Two of the stars, Andrew Lund and Molly C. Jones, have been our guests. Good luck with this, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Keep up
the
great work.
So much. Hopefully
really,
we'll see
really
you both
great.
There.
Yeah. Yes.
I would like that. Yep,
yeah,
absolutely. Keep up the great work. We'll take a little break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then he's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys.
He's Dean in a tank.
He's Dean in a tank. He was in a tank last night. You're like Rommel.
I prefer to think of myself more General Patton-like.
Oh, yeah. Patton-like. Yeah, that's true, too.
Truth be told, with the reaction that I've gotten most often is that I looked like Michael Dukakis.
Yeah, you kind of did.
For people who don't know, last night the WGN TV Morning News had a primetime special, the second annual primetime special, and Dean's segment took place in, I don't know the brand of tank. Who made that kind of tank, Dean? Do you know?
It was, I don't have my notes here in front of me, it was a Swiss-made tank that was used during World War II. And some countries still use it as, you know, it's part of.
You could tell it was a military. Swiss tank because it also had a spoon that came out of it and a hairbrush and a knife. It was great.
Oh.
A lot of people didn't see the milk chocolates lining the perimeter of the the tank.
You should get a tank, Dean. You look good in a tank.
You do.
Trading in my car. I'm going to get a tank.
Yeah.
And I'm going to park any damn place I want to.
Victory Tank Wreckers could probably
set something
up. I was just going to
say that. I thought I said it. That was really bizarre.
Victory Auto. The place that where we got the tank is called driveatank.com, where anybody can rent a tank.
My kids now want to rent a tank, so thanks for that.
As they should. It's like, I have never had so much fun before.
Wait till our next block party.
Just riding around in it is super fun. But, you know, we, Victory Auto Records, speaking of, they brought out some vehicles for us to crush. That was the point of it. We were in a tank crushing stuff out of the DuPage County Fairgrounds, and we crushed a refrigerator and washer dryer and all kinds of
household piano.
When people say Dean Richard crushed it last night, they mean it. He actually did it.
And you smashed a pumpkin.
And we had Billy Corgan on the show, and I smashed a pumpkin.
Right.
What a night.
Completely separately.
Everyone wins.
I watched every minute of the show last night, and it was thoroughly entertained.
Isn't it? It was like watching a Fellini movie, wasn't it?
It kind of was.
It was like weird and nutty.
In other Dean Richards news, I can't tell you how excited I am about this. Family Classics returns to WGN classics. With you as the host.
Yeah, more Family Classics. We did it last year. We brought back this this classic WGN old school movie series, you know, before there was Netflix and, you know, all the ways that people watch movies these days. Every Friday or Sunday, depending on when you grew up, Family Classics was on, and they would handpick, Frazier Thomas or Roy Leonard would handpick movies to show on television.
Oftentimes, Captain's Courageous.
Oh, there was a lot of Captain's Courageous. Yep. There was a lot of Boys Town. Yep.
Yep.
All the, you know, classic family-type movies. And every holiday season, there would be at least one or two versions of A Christmas Carol. My favorite was Alistair Sim's version from 1951. That's what we showed last Christmas. That's what we're going to show again this Christmas, December 14th, to be exact. But also, we're going to do one on Thanksgiving evening at 6:30. Movie that's in my top 10 favorite movies of all time, Tom Hanks's Big.
Mm. I love it.
I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. Too.
I love it. So we're going to show that on Thanksgiving evening. We've got A Christmas Carol on the 14th of December, and then like back in the day on WGN for New Year's Eve, where they used to do Marx Brothers or W.C. Fields marathons, we're going to do a Marx Brothers double feature starting at 10:30 on New Year's Eve.
I don't know whose idea this was, Dean, but give them a promotion and a hug, because they deserve both.
It was not my idea, but I'm going to take full credit for it.
I can't wait.
I am.
No, you are. You deserve it.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Yeah, it was a little something I thought of.
I love it. I love it.
Something I thought of.
All right, so Family Classics returning to WGN TV. So far, on only a part-time basis, I would love to see it every week. I'd watch it every week, Dean.
A lot of people are suggesting that we do it all the time. So we'll see.
That'd be great.
Part of the deal with that is, I don't want to do this if we're not going to do really cool movies,
right?
Like really fun movies. I don't want to do Malibu's Most Wanted or you know, just whatever garbage is out there.
And right.
The fact of the matter is. A lot of those old movies that we used to show on Family Classics, the ones that we were talking about, have been gobbled up by cable channels, the Turner
Movie
Classics and some of the others.
Right.
So those kinds of things are no longer available for local television stations. But there are some. There are some cool ones still. So
boy, is that good news.
Whether that turns into something on a regular basis.
Yeah.
What else would I do with my spare time?
Right, right. Then host Family Classics.
Stand
it makes
behind
sense.
That chair.
We're going to take
it. Now, if you are quite ready.
Let us begin. Beautiful words. Dean, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what movies are opening this weekend. Stick around for that.
Lots of them.
Hey, it's the finale of Christmas Pete, and we're going all out right here on The Morning Show. Steve Cochran Show tomorrow, 9:40, at Christmas Bonanza. Listen for your chance to win a $100 gift card to Tree Time in Lake Barrington.
Dean Richards is here. Yeah, the guy from the tank. You've seen him in tanks. Now he's here.
And Dean, tank tops.
And tank tops sometimes. His special Tanks for the Memories runs this Saturday night on WGN-TV, the musical.
Yep.
Dean, there's so many movies coming out, I don't know where to start. Can we please start with Fantastic Beasts?
Yeah, you're not going to like what I have to say about it, though. Did you like the first one?
I did, very much.
I did, too. This one is called Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. And once again, we have Eddie Redmayne back as Newt Salamander, who is... he is sort of a magic enthusiast, investigator, former student of Hogwarts that we know from the Harry Potter series. The Fantastic Beasts series are prequels to what led to what we know in the Harry Potter books and in the movies. So these are leading up to it all. And in this particular movie, there is a very dark wizard who is played by Johnny Depp in this movie, who wants to gather all the pureblood wizards and turn them against everyone else so the pureblood wizards can rule the world
That'd be bad.
That would be bad. And one of the people trying to stop this is a young professor at Hogwarts named Albus Dumbledore, who we know from the Harry Potter books and movies as being the headmaster there. Jude Law plays him beautifully. The first movie was very light and whimsical and fun. This one is very dark. The storyline is not anywhere as fun. If there's one thing missing from this movie, it was that sense of whimsy that the first movie had. This one is kind of like a serious Harry Potter movie. I also think that it's overloaded with subplots and things that make the movie difficult to stay with. They throw so many things in at the last minute. So I wound up actually not liking this movie. I couldn't wait for it to be over.
Wow.
The effects are very cool.
Yeah.
It's one of these movies that I talk about a lot that are style over substance. This one is very stylized. The effects are very pretty and so forth. But story-wise, it's dark and depressing and overstuffed. So unlike your turkey, I'm going to give it... A Dean's List D.
Dean's List D for the new Fantastic Beasts movie. All right, I'm also hopeful for Widows. Tell us about Widows.
Widows is quite good. Widows is the one that was shot here in Chicago. It stars Viola Davis. It stars Liam Neeson. Colin Farrell is in the movie. It's a movie about a group of four women whose husbands are all killed in a mob-like assassination. They didn't know each other. The only reason that they get to know each other is that after their husbands are killed, they are approached by a man who says that their husbands were heavily in debt, and unless they pay the debt, that bad things are going to happen. So the women decide to take matters into their own hands to seek retribution, to figure out. The women didn't even know that their husbands were involved in mob-like activities. So they're learning new things about their husband as they're losing everything that they know in their life, their loved ones, but also their material possessions, and now threatened with something even worse, with this threat that if you don't pay the debts that your husband's owed, you're going to lose out. So the women take things into their own hands. It's not like the all-female Oceans movie.
Yeah.
Or the all-female Ghostbusters. I mean, this is a very serious revenge thriller that works on every level. It's beautifully acted. It's beautifully shot. Robert Duvall in this movie plays an old-time Chicago politician whose son is running for office, played by Colin Farrell. Mm-hmm. It could not be more of the Richard J. Daley and Richard M. Daley scenario.
Oh.
Diablo Cody, Chicago writer Diablo Cody, wrote this story, and I have to think that she modeled these two characters in particular, since it's all set in Chicago, and the movie is very Chicago-centric. It deals with Chicago politics and people in the African-American community trying to get a hold of some power in their communities, but these old-line politicians aren't letting it happen. It's very Chicago that way. There's a lot going on in this movie, but it all makes sense. I really like this movie a lot and gave it a Dean's List B+.
Good. Like the sound of that. B+. Hugh Jackman's new movie is Front Runner. He plays Gary Hart. What can you tell us?
Do you remember Gary Hart?
Yeah. Sure,
very remember
well.
That whole, he was... said to be the front runner, name of the movie, to be the 1988 Democratic presidential candidate. But way before Stormy Daniels, way before Monica Lewinsky, go down the list, Donna Rice, go down the list of all of the women that, famous politicians have alleged to have had sexual affairs with, extramarital affairs, there was Gary Hart. The politicians dealing in extramarital affairs were sort of, the press would look the other way. There was sort of literally a gentleman's agreement between the press and the politicians to look the other way until Gary Hart came along. And newspapers were deciding that a candidate's personal life should be on the front page of their papers and should be made an issue in this campaign. And it completely derailed Gary Hart's campaign. Hugh Jackman plays Gary Hart. It's the story of what happened with this derailment, but it's a story of an inside look behind the scenes in politics, And I think most interesting, it's a story about the moment in time when things changed for public figures, with the private lives of public figures being put on the front page of newspapers and in radio and TV newscasts. I think the movie is well done. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Very, very good. Let's do one more. That's Mark Wahlberg's Instant Family, Dean.
Oh, I love this movie. Yeah? I wound up loving this movie.
Oh.
I thought it was going to be sort of a sappy, you know, kind of formulaic comedy. It's Mark Wahlberg and it's Rose Byrne. They're a married couple. They want to have kids. They're thinking about adopting, so they decide to be foster parents to see how it's, you know, how they like it, how it's going to work out. And they wind up foster parenting three siblings that come into their home, and of course it's chaos. You know, there are you know, some slightly formulaic joke setups, you know, with all of that, but the writing in this turns out to be really good. It turns out to be a really powerful story about the need for adoption, the sensitivity that's needed when somebody decides to become an adoptive or a foster parent. It's a very sweet story, tear-jerking story. I welled up a couple of times with this.
You do not get that from the ads, Dean, at all, do you?
You get that it's a lighthearted comedy about these three kids that come into a new home.
Yeah.
But there are some moments in this where it really touches your heart. And I like that. I like that it's funny and sweet and thoughtful. And, you know, gives you a little something to think about at the same time. So I gave that one a Dean's List B also.
3 out of 4 favorable reviews, yeah, and I would have been sure that Fantastic Beasts would have been on that favorable list, but not so much.
I couldn't have been more shocked at that myself. This is one of the busiest movie weekends of the year. The next one will be next week when we have Creed 2, the latest in the Rocky
that looks great.
Franchise, which I've seen and is great. I'll tell you more about it next week. We have also next week opening, as I reach for my notes, we also have, Robin Hood with Taron Egerton and
Jamie Foxx
in it.
Yeah.
That also is a very interesting retelling of this you know, classic story. Ralph Breaks the Internet is going to be the big movie, the family movie of the weekend.
Yeah.
And Willem Dafoe next week has a new movie out called At Eternity's Gate. And I know holiday schedules are weird next week, but hopefully we can figure out a
you
time.
You make space for Willem Dafoe.
That's make space for Willem Dafoe.
Grandma used to say that, and it still holds true to this day,
Dean. Didn't she needlepoint that on a pillow once? I remember.
Yeah, she did.
Everyone knows Grandma loved her Willem Dafoe.
Couldn't live without him.
First, she needlepointed William Dafoe.
Right.
And we had to go back and say, Grandma, make mistake.
It's Willem.
You got to unstitch that.
That's what it is. Dean, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. All have right, a great man. Weekend.
Thank you, Dean.
Yes, that's Dean Richards. You guys, we'll take a quick break, find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And coming up, Bill, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon. She is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.